This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Good evening from London, Nick. How are you, sir?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Let's focus on two aspects that we've seen today, the latest consumer confidence numbers, and also we heard regarding the Fed minutes and the implications that they may hold. What would you like to start with?
Yeah, we can start with maybe an easier one. This morning we had consumer confidence, which of course is an important figure, but hardly moves the markets most of the time. We did see numbers for consumer confidence pretty much come out exactly as expected. The consumer is largely improving from where it was. At one point, you know, maybe a year ago or so, we were constantly talking about the pains associated with inflation and high interest rates. And while those things are still a pain for people and they're not completely fixed or anything, they certainly are at a better point. We're not seeing prices rise as much, yet we're still seeing people are employed and they are overall getting wage increases. And that kind of trickles into this consumer confidence report. The overall story for the consumer is still a improving one, but an improving one nonetheless, better than where it was. So that's arguably good news. Stock market at the time of recording is just around all-time highs here for the U.S. We see other stock markets slightly lower here today, but stock market for the U.S. just about all-time highs. Then we also had the meeting minutes today, which were posted up and largely kind of boring, to put them in a simple way. However, what is to come in the next few weeks and months are definitely not boring. Because although this meeting minutes kind of stay on the sidelines with any sort of decision-making clear paths, one thing is for sure. We know that the Fed has outlined, and Powell has outlined this recently, a bit of an equal risk to both sides of the mandate. Of course, that being inflation concerns as well as labor concerns. We see the Fed kind of looking in both directions and saying, where is inflation going to be in the coming months? Where is the labor market going to be in a couple of months? And let's take those and just break them down for a second, piece by piece. If we take a look at the labor market, unemployment rate in the United States is at 4.1%. Now, it's risen over the last year or so, but it's still 4.1%. The long-term average is like 5.7. So unemployment rate's not in a danger zone or a critical spot. Although it has slowed a little bit, the labor market, we're definitely not in danger territory at this time for the U.S. labor statistics. Part of the reason why I think that the dollar has been very strong against its peers recently is that concept, but also the concept of inflation. We've discussed this on the podcast, but inflation in Europe has seen some under 2% readings. I know the UK specifically, 1.7%. I mean, inflation has really come down in those places relative to the U.S., which actually saw a tick up in inflation. The other thing we can draw conclusions to is in the last podcast, we mentioned this, UK and European PMIs really slooped recently. They slowed down, and yet U.S. PMIs actually ticked higher for services. So this divergence between U.S., UK, and Europe is largely the reason we see, in my view, a stronger U.S. dollar. And you can throw in, by the way, the inflation concerns that come with Donald Trump's tariff ideas. If there are big tariffs, and by the way, another theme here is if there is some large amount of deportation in the United States, these concepts are actually potentially inflationary. Now, we don't know exactly how these things are going to get hashed out. We don't know if mass deportation is really going to happen or how aggressive these tariffs are going to be, but they are both potentially inflationary. And on the inflationary front for immigration stuff, if you get mass deportation, there's some gaps that form in the labor market. And when gaps form and the supply of labor is lower than the demand, that can lead to rising prices and inflation because, you know, existing roles need to be paid more. So, or for those spots. So there are some inflationary risks. I think that the Fed won't say that publicly, but I do think that they still think about it, right? They think about the incoming president-elect, Donald Trump coming back. What is that going to mean? And I think that there's a good chance that we do actually see them keep interest rates where they are in December. I could be wrong about that, but it's a 64%, I'm sorry, a 60-40% chance currently from the FedWatch tool that we actually do see a cut. So a little slight preference towards it, but we've got a couple events between now and then, Johnny.
Indeed. I just wanted to ask you again about those Trump tariffs though, Nick, because those potential punitive tariffs have had an effect on UK and European markets today, particularly car makers. And there are also some are suggesting that Canadian imports, if they get tariffs, will drive up prices for American motorists. Oil producers are worried about this, and that could see a rise in oil prices, which we didn't actually talk about that much in terms of those Trump tariffs. We were mainly talking about imports from the likes of China and so on. So producers are warning that US consumers will feel the repercussions should imports slide and prices rise. And that wouldn't actually help a potential interest rate fall either, would it?
No, it wouldn't. I mean, there's pros and cons here with everything. You know, if one thing the financial markets have taught me over the years is that everything has a pro, everything has a con. The concept of tariffs, the unlimited access to selling to the one of the strongest consumer bases in the world, the US, many would agree that that shouldn't be something that is freely accessible to the global market. But at the same time, as you've just mentioned, constricting it can also weaken the story for the US itself, as well as others. That access to imports, that access to our allies having, you know, a robust and liquid economy between the US, the UK, Europe, Canada, et cetera. It's a tricky story. I mean, there's, like I said, pros and cons for both. It is sort of an America First initiative. However, America First also does rely on many of its key allies as well. So, you know, my best guess here, Johnny, and this is definitely a guess, is the idea that the tariffs could be, you know, some of Trump's advisors could be in his ear about, you know, hey, be lenient on our allies and stronger on our, you know, perhaps us and them may become more of a theme in coming years than it already has been. The US and its allies may, you know, continue to look out for each other, but then stronger, more strict, perhaps a resumption of the 2018 trade war stuff with China could really become a bigger theme in coming years.
Nick, it's also worth adding this breaking news that we've had over the last couple of hours or so of a ceasefire, which has apparently been green-lighted by Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That's the US brokered ceasefire deal with Hezbollah in Lebanon. He has been on Israeli national television listing the reasons why he says it makes sense for Israel to agree a ceasefire. I'm wondering actually whether this may have had an effect on the oil price, because these geopolitical concerns obviously make a big difference to oil and energy prices, and the more cooled down some of the potential trouble we've had in that area during the last, 14 months or so, would actually make a big difference, I would suggest.
Yeah, no, and we can kind of, it's fascinating how, of course, intelligent the markets are, because you can always check to see how legitimate or how promising something is just by simply pulling up the price of oil, the price of gold, and getting an idea. And we do actually see both of those, which do react heavily to war and peace kind of dynamics. We do see gold lower in the last few days. In fact, gold specifically dropped from 2720 yesterday at a high down to somewhere around 2620 per ounce, which is a pretty substantial drop in the price of gold. $100 drop per ounce is pretty substantial. You also pair that with oil prices down, I think at one point yesterday, somewhere around 2.5 to 3% on the day. Those are pretty big moves, and that potentially signals that perhaps there is some progress in negotiations coming, which if you couple that, Johnny, with tariffs, but Trump's plans to potentially drill more oil, oil prices may continue to see some slide. We have a key level of support around $67, it seems, for U.S. oil, and for Brent crude, we could take a look at that, and the comparable price level would be around $71 to $70 per barrel. Barrel seems to be sort of a key zone of support for buyers. At some point, I do wonder, you know, you've got all these pressures that could take oil prices lower. Will there be some sort of pushback from the Saudis, from places that, of course, have a vested interest in keeping prices higher in order to protect their own profit margins, these oil-producing and exporting nations? We'll see.
It would seem that the West, let's call it, are more or less happy with the price at around $70 a barrel, and perhaps the Saudis and OPEC Plus, etc., would prefer something around the $80 mark. We're sort of going up and down in between at the moment.
It does seem like that. And again, lower oil prices help with the inflation story. And as always, we have to consider the other side. If we do get a spike in oil prices, it could hurt the inflation story.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We will speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast,